Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez. A great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Welcome, everybody, to another Piecing It Together. This is episode 5, and it's going to be a fun one. As usual, please, if you're listening, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you can, rate us and review us. That really helps to make sure the show gets heard, make sure the show gets seen, and will hopefully lead to some really great things if we can get a lot of people listening to this. And so far, so good. The numbers just keep going up and up, and it's just been awesome. And it's been a lot of fun making it, too. And you know, speaking of fun, this is actually going to be the first time I've got a repeat co-host. I knew he'd be a regular on this show, but my buddy Chad Clinton Freeman, he is going to be joining me for this episode. And we had a really, really fun talk on this one because it is such a wild movie. So, yeah, I'll jump right in here. For the first time since starting this podcast, I found myself watching a movie specifically so I could talk about it on the show. My friend Chad had seen The Hurricane Heist, and while I thought it looked just terrible, he loved it. And I read a couple things saying about how ridiculously over the top it was. And then I read that there's a hurricane with the shape of a skull in the clouds, and I was just sold right there. This movie did not disappoint. The Hurricane Heist is about bank robbers who decide to pull off the ultimate heist of a treasury facility during, you guessed it, a hurricane. It's a ridiculously genius concept and the kind of thing Nicolas Cage would have starred in like 20 years ago. And it's directed by Rob Cohen, the creator of the Fast and the Furious series. It stars Maggie Grace, Robbie Keble, Ryan Kwanten, and my personal favorite, Ralph Ineson, as one of the villains. It's not really a so-bad-it's-good movie. I'd call it a carefully calculated, we-know-what-so-bad-it's-good movies are. Let's make a serious movie that'll satisfy those fans on purpose, but also do the movie great. It's one of a kind, and it is a blast. All right, so let's do another episode of Piecing It Together. I've got with me again Chad Clinton Freeman. We are we're watching a movie that I wouldn't have watched if it wasn't for you. This movie is The Hurricane Heist, and it's a wild one, man. And I was not really planning on watching it until your recommendation, and then I read some other things online, and I was like, okay, I gotta see this movie.
Yeah, I think I sent you a message something like this movie's awesome or something like that. Totally ridiculously awesome.
Yeah,
ridiculous. Something along those lines. And yeah. It totally is.
Yeah, you got to use ridiculous if you're getting me to a movie called The Hurricane Heist. Cuz I cannot take a straight movie called The Hurricane Heist. Although that is part of the beauty of this movie is how straight they play it.
Right.
So, let's just jump right in here. You know what? I will go first and just get the obvious one out of the way. How about that? The big obvious one is Twister. Right. Yeah, I mean, clearly this movie is Twister meets whatever the hell you want to say that it meets. We'll get into that as we continue with some of these other movies that we are calling inspirations for The Hurricane Heist. But definitely whatever are the inspirations, it's that meets Twister.
You know, I don't even know if Twister is still even really culturally relevant anymore. I certainly haven't seen it in like 20 years at least. When's the last time you saw Twister?
Well, see, that's the funny thing is that I actually had never seen Twister. So having seen this movie, having seen this movie and loved it, I went and watched Twister.
Okay. Well, how did it stack up?
I wasn't big on the movie. I think Hurricane Heist is way better. Of course, it's totally different. You know, time period of the movies being made and everything. But the funny thing is that the way that this movie opens is essentially a total ripoff of the way Twister opens.
Yeah,
the whole backstory with the family member dying, and then that being, you know, what drives the person to chase after the, you know, the storms. Yeah. That's totally ripped from Twister. So, actually what's funniest part to me though, and this is off subject here, but we're talking about influences and inspirations. The Bill Paxton character in Twister calls, I forget who plays the other guy, but one of fancy uppity storm chasers that has like all these high tech equipment and gadgets and whatnot. He calls him Nightcrawler. And I thought that was so funny because obviously Nightcrawler was inspired by Twister because Bill Paxton, you know, was, anyway, totally getting into a different movie's inspirations, but that's what really hit me over the head. I was like, wow, that's so cool. So anyway, so back to this and back to Twister. What's funny is that the CGI in Hurricane Heist, which by today's standards isn't like top of the line, you know, sure. It's fine, but it's not like wow, blown away. It's actually probably better than the CGI of Twister.
Hey, good pun by the way with the blown away line there. I like that. I haven't seen Twister in so long, but I agree. I don't remember the CGI really being very good. It was in that time frame, like right around Jurassic Park, where everything was either pushing the boundaries of what CGI could do or just terrible. And yeah, and my memory serves me, it was not very good. The CGI. Although I do remember loving the movie, but then again, like I said, I haven't seen it in like 20 years, so who knows? I liked a lot of movies.
Yeah. Then. No, I mean it's a fun movie. It's a little long, and so I don't know. To me, I the reason I didn't see it, and I do remember this because there was a time period early on where I just hated CGI and I hated big blockbuster CGI movies and I avoided them. And that was one of the ones that, like, I remember my brother and dad went to see it and my dad loved it. And my brother, I think he liked it a lot too. And they always talked about it, but I just avoided it for the longest time. That being said, Hurricane Heist, I liked this movie so much that I was like, okay, I got to watch Twister fun.
Yeah. That's what did it. That's what got you on board the Twister train. That huge pop culture phenomenon, which is Twister in 2018. I'm just picturing the director just walking into like, what is it, Entertainment Studios, isn't that the name of this new production company that made this? And
right,
it's like I got a pitch for you. It's Twister meets every action movie you've ever seen, you know.
right. Well, that's one of the things that I really, really liked about this movie. And this, right before we jump into other influences, is that this movie is like the disaster movie meets heist movie meets chase movie.
Yeah.
And it's like it marries those three movies and it does it so in a such a fun way that's what makes it to me. This movie's kind of brilliant. And I know I've seen the reviews. Everybody else, for the most part, is kind of underwhelmed by it. But I really, really like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, along the same lines though of Twister, and again, it's a movie I haven't seen in forever, but I loved when it came out, and that's Hard Rain, which I think was a late 90s movie with Morgan Freeman, Christian Slater, Randy Quaid. And if I'm not mistaken, that's one you had told me before that you hadn't seen.
Yeah, I don't remember if I saw that movie. I remember it. I don't remember seeing it. I might have seen it. Yeah.
I love that movie. And again, that maybe that's part of the reason why I like this one so much. I loved Hard Rain. Okay. And yeah, it, whereas, you know, Twister, so Hard Rain again is obviously one of the big influences, but unlike Twister, where Twister, they're just basically chasing after storms, Hard Rain is very similar in that what it's a flood that comes to this small city, and there are people that are robbing an armored truck, and I can't remember many of the details, but basically there's an armored truck heist and there's a flood, and so in that regard it's similar, but only in that way, really, because the action is a lot different in that movie. But Hard Rain, very, very fun movie. I love that one. I haven't seen that one in forever. That's one that I wanted to go back and rewatch, but I just didn't get a chance to.
It's hard to believe that these kind of scenarios haven't played out in real life, because it really is kind of genius when you think about it, like doing a big robbery during some kind of natural disaster. There's looting, of course, but I mean, like a big freaking bank robbery or something like that. Just seems like a perfect plan.
Right, right. Yeah, like you're saying, there's all this small time crime that happens, but there's never like anybody masterminding, or maybe there is, and we haven't heard about it.
Ooh, there you go.
It's all covered up.
Well, my next one I'm going to mention, and this Rob Cohen, the director, he was a director on some of the later ones, or maybe just one of the later Mummy movies. But the first Mummy with Brendan Fraser, and maybe it's just the skull that appears in the hurricane. Maybe it's just that's making me think this. But something about like the storm being a character just reminds me so much of like the sandstorms in those first couple Mummy movies. I definitely mean that in a good way. Make no mistake, no. Anyone listening to this, I mean that in the best possible way.
No, I totally get that, which that was not something that I even thought of. But now that you say that, yeah, I can see that. It's almost like a little nod to it, because, you know, one of the things I read was people were disappointed that they didn't like explore that was just like something you saw, and they didn't really go into any more details. Like, it was the storm, you know, some sort of like demon or something.
Right.
I didn't even see it that way. Anyway, what I saw was, I saw it as his point of view, the Will character,
right.
You know,
right,
his point
exactly.
of view. And what how he viewed the storm is he views the storms as just this total, you know, demonic and evil entity that destroys for no reason.
By the way, can you picture if they had gone that direction, like these two Alabama, like Southern, you know, the Southern accents, like doing exposition, like telling the story of like this demon that possesses hurricanes or something? That would just be so insane.
See, I was trying to figure out how they could do a sequel, and I think that's the way they can do it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That would be amazing.
Well,
I'm on board.
That's the thing, is that I think some people, that's what they expected or that's what they wanted, mm-hmm. and that would take it into that Sharknado territory
it didn't
go into. Which I was actually happy that it didn't, but I still think Sharknado was kind of a bit of an influence in some regard, because I mean, obviously, any Storm movie these days now has to, you know, Sharknado. The reason anybody's talking about a Storm movie anymore is because Sharknado. Exactly. I mean, after Twister, that pretty much, like, the Storm movies were dead for a long time. And then, like, Sharknado kind of revived them. And now, you know, of course, Geostorm, which I did not see.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, though, that people have said is that this movie was kind of a healthy balance between what Sharknado tried to do or does do, and then what Geostorm did, or what people wanted it to do anyway.
Right, right.
Is, you know, a fun and playful, you know, movie that actually had some cool things in it, but wasn't way too over the top. I mean, this movie itself took itself serious, and that's what I liked about it, is that it wasn't like, you know, that's the problem with the Sharknado movies, is that they're not serious enough in regards to what the movie itself is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they've, especially as they've continued to go on, they've gotten just, like, so detached from any form of a reality. And then on the other end of the spectrum is your Geostorm, where it's probably, like, I didn't see it either, but I'm guessing it's so self-serious and so just devoid of any kind of fun. And this is, this is like a total healthy medium where it's silly, but it's played straight. And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a shame actually that I didn't see Geostorm, because that was one that at first, because they were showing, you know, trailers like 2 years ago or something before it came out, that I was like so not wanting to see it. But then, of course, when Gerard Butler started popping up in the trailers, that's when I got excited and I wanted to see it. But it just like came and went like really fast.
Yeah.
And I did not get a chance to see it. And I was going to watch it after I saw this one, because again, now I'm like in the Storm mode. I want to watch these Storm movies. I'm excited. I'm excited about this genre, and I didn't get to watch it before doing this, but I did watch some other ones. I watched actually two that the Asylum made. One called Geo Disaster, which is actually terrible. And there's not much. The problem with these, and the other one is Ocean's Rising, which was also from the Asylum. And these both came out in like the last couple years.
What about the Tornado Robbery?
Is that one for real?
I'm making it up. Yeah.
That's going to be the next probably Asylum movie.
Yeah, it seems like it would be. If this movie had been a hit, I'd put it that way.
Right, right. And I watched one for Uwe Boll, The Final Storm. Now, the problem with these, which these are like really low budget, is that they didn't actually show much of the storm at all. They just kind of like were these really small movies that were kind of about a couple of people, but there were no storm elements whatsoever. And they what was going on was supposedly like a global thing. That's one of the things that was neat about this movie, is that this was just it was a hurricane, so it was a specific area in the United States that it was happening to. And then we focused in on this town, and of course it was evacuated, so you had a small group of people that were actually in the movie. So it was like a small but big at the same time. So it didn't have to show, you know, this storm like wrecking havoc over, you know, tons of cities or anything like that. The focus of it was rather small. So I thought that it worked really well in that regard.
Hmm. Well, do you think, you know, just going back to Geostorm for a minute, because that was like the last, like, you know, I don't want to diss the Asylum too hard here, but like the last, you know, real movie that we mentioned here. Do you think Geostorm, is that more of an aside, or do you think that inspired these filmmakers that made The Hurricane Heist?
I think probably, because I know Geostorm was one that was like in the works and like supposedly coming for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know? and I think it went through like a lot of massive reshoots and whatnot. I don't think Gerard Butler was actually in it originally, because I remember asking you, I was like, is he really in it? Because he's not in any trailers or anything. And then all of a sudden he popped up and it was like, oh. But, you know, it maybe kind of comes from that same, the same place. Not necessarily inspired it, but maybe the reason that movie existed and this movie existed is kind of that want to, redo some of the old like 90s disaster movies, which you mentioned Rob Cohen and his movies before. Of course, he did Daylight, which was one of the really good disaster movies back in the 90s. And there were a ton of those movies like that. And they were all in different types of disasters and whatnot. And even still in the early 2000s, we were having those. It was like every year we were getting a big disaster movie for many, many years. And it seems like I can't think of Geostorm was like one of the bigger ones in probably a decade or so that sure. I can remember.
Sure. So, my next one on the list is actually it's a trio of movies that all go together. It's probably like the ultimate trio of 90s action movies. It also happens to be peak Nicolas Cage. It's The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off. And none of these movies like specifically are things that are happening here in the Hurricane Heist, aside from just being action movies. I just think, like, going back to that original comment of Twister, it's Twister meets action, you know, various action movies. I think these three are probably huge influences on Rob Cohen as far as, as for what an action movie can be. And, you know, you got to think that when you make a movie like this, you know, you're not doing it just to be a silly little, you know, niche film that, you know, some film nerds laugh about and love. But you're looking for it to be a big blockbuster action movie. And I think it could have been with the right marketing, possibly. But these are like ultimate examples of what that kind of movie can be. And, you know, especially with the Cage effect, you know, they still have their ridiculousness to them, just like this one does.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. It's funny because that's kind of what I was thinking with this, is that, yeah, it needed like Sylvester Stallone, which he had his, like I said, Daylight, Cliffhanger. I don't remember if he had any other ones, but, Nick Cage, this needed somebody like that, or Bruce Willis, because Die Hard and the Die Hard movies. I felt this movie had a very specific Die Hard sort of vibe, especially in one moment. But it didn't have one of those big names that would have elevated this into a big blockbuster action movie. But I totally agree with you. It's funny because The Rock was one of the ones that I was thinking too. But again, not in any specific regard, just in the feel of it, of the big blockbuster that's just kind of like over the top and ridiculous, fun. I totally get that. So yeah, definitely, in some regards, some sort of like, you know, Nick Cage or Stallone, influence here. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like going back off what you were just saying, and I had this in my notes as well, is I think this movie would have done so much better, and no offense to the actors in it, because there's some good performances at Maggie Grace and the two leads are Robbie Keble and Ryan Quanten, I believe are their names. You know, they were perfectly fine. They did a good job. I just think that this movie with some bigger names, I think it could have possibly gotten, like, it could have gotten past the public's fear of a silly movie. You know what I mean? Right. To the point, because, like, a perfect example, actually, and I just thought of this right now, is this summer, skyscraper with the Rock, which
right.
looks so freaking ridiculous. But it's, right. but it's the Rock, and it's going to, I mean, even if it's not a huge hit, it's going to at least do well. And, yeah, I think with some bigger names attached to this, this could have been something.
Right. Well, the funny thing though, is that this movie is way more grounded than like most Tom Cruise, somebody else like The Rock and Tom Cruise, Mark Wahlberg because of the Transformer movies. How ridiculous the action is in those movies.
Actually, Wahlberg would have been a great pick for this movie.
Like, I think so too.
I could totally him as the star that would have elevated this movie. Yeah.
And this movie is so much more grounded than the ones that he's actually been doing. So people would be like, wow.
Yeah.
He's doing a realistic movie.
Yeah. People would think this is another like Peter Berg one. Like, they think it's something that happened.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that the terrible, terrible Southern accents in this. It doesn't matter who you would have put in there. There wouldn't have been worse.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I couldn't get over. It took me a while into the movie, to actually settle in and be like, okay, yeah, they're really talking like that.
Yeah. Those were amazing accents. The only accent that was better than those Southern accents was the bad guy. What's the actor's name? I have it written down. Ralph Ineson. He was in The Witch. Oh my god, that guy's voice. I want him to like. I want to like make a movie with him or something. Where it's just some of my music and him just talking over it. You know, he's amazing. Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. He was great. The funny part is because, you know, this was supposed to be taking place in Alabama, and all of the actors, everybody from what I understand is either British or Australian.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah. Oh my god. That is so funny. Those accents they're amazing.
I thought Maggie Grace was pretty great. I was unfamiliar with. Once this movie started, I recognized a couple of the people, her and Toby Cabell. I didn't recognize their names, but I was like, oh yeah, I remember them from this, that, and the other. But those two especially, I thought were really, really strong. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this, but did you know that Cabell guy? He was actually King Kong in Kong Skull Island. He played a part in that movie, but he was also Kong. And then also he was also the villain in the Planet of the Apes movies. What's his name?
Koba?
Yeah, Koba. Yeah, he was Koba.
Wow. That's interesting.
I know.
Is this the hero or the brother?
The hero, the weatherman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. I did not know that. Huh. Wow. So what is your next one? Or do you have another one?
Yeah. Well, I guess we could kind of in the same vein, I think, because I went back. I'd never seen Triple X. Which was another one of Rob Cohen's movies. I actually watched it just a couple of days ago. And because I thought for sure that he was, you know, not necessarily drawing influence from his past movies, but that and Fast and the Furious. Obviously, I just wanted to kind of take a look at them and see how they kind of compared in the ridiculousness. And basically, I mean, that's what this director's like that's his thing,
that
he's like good at, is like doing totally ridiculous, like huge action sequences, and story wise, doesn't even really hold together that strongly. That was one of my main complaints with this one. There were scenes that I was like, why was that even there? Or how does that even fit in?
Like the couple that were the hackers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. The girl of the couple, how she was wearing like, it was like a cocktail dress and
right.
For no reason. Oh my God. Yeah. There's some really like what the fuck things in this movie.
and that's pretty much how Triple X was.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's like what he does is just like, I don't think he really pays much attention to story or things making sense. And I don't think he really cares about that. Yep. It's just like totally in like a, it's funny, a less making sense way than like Michael Bay does.
I was just going to say Michael Bay with a smaller budget, but more cocaine, maybe.
Right. And so along the same lines, though, of Triple X and Fast and Furious, which I think were themselves influenced by some of this. And I think this one, though, specifically, I had three that I wrote down here. They're kind of related. One of them is Smokey and the Bandit, which is like one of the classic, you know, fast car chase movies.
Sure.
That also, you know, features diesels, which, you know, the climax of this, you had the three diesel chase scene, which also in some regards reminded me of Road Warrior, Mad Max 2.
Okay.
And then I didn't even really think about it at the time I was watching. It didn't come to mind, but then I was like, cause you know, Fury Road is basically heavily inspired from Road Warrior. So, I mean, you could look at Fury Road as a possible influence here, too. And then the other one was Dukes of Hazzard, which was the TV show, which was a totally inspired from Smokey and the Bandit. And especially just the way some of the characters like interacted and stuff totally reminded me of Dukes of Hazzard. It was almost they didn't specifically say it, but I almost felt like it was going to come at any moment. Like one of them was going to be, you thinking what I'm thinking, which is like total, like Dukes of Hazzard. And then they're like, yeah, I am. And then they do it. And then it's like, yep, that's what I was thinking. I mean, the total, like, that's the kind of like the characters, how they interacted.
You know, with that accent that you just did, you totally could have been in this movie. There would have been a great part for you right in there. You got to get a hold of Rob Cohen for the sequel.
I would have loved to have been in this movie.
Oh man. You know, I only had one other movie and you touched on it briefly earlier, but it was Die Hard. Which is, you know, it's a lot of people would call it the ultimate like action movie, you know, and I think, you know, I think anytime Rob Cohen gets out of bed, he's trying to make the ultimate action movie.
Right.
So I think I think this is no different and certainly fits into the Twister meets mold. Also, another thing would be the bad guy who I brought up earlier. Totally reminded me of what's his name? Hans Gruber.
Right.
Yeah, totally had that kind of feel going on, which is awesome. Totally a compliment to that actor.
Well, the scene in the mall, that was total to me, like Die Hard or Home Alone. I mean, total, just like, and that scene was totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's one of the things. It's like, there are so many like coincidences or, I mean, like they were planning for a situation to happen, which like, what would be the likelihood that that would actually play out the way it did, which made it so ridiculous. With them, you know, strapping themselves in so that the storm burst into the ceiling, you know, the glass ceiling, and then creates a vacuum and sucks the bad guys away. And of course the brother was just kind of left to fend for himself when this happened. Yeah. But totally so ridiculous. But yeah, there's something about that thing.
Doesn't the one guy say at one point, all we needed was a little hurricane or something like that? Or like, it's such a, like a perfect line for like the coincidence level of this movie. Of
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you have another one?
Not specifically. San Andreas was just one that I had thought of, because that was one of the big disaster movies that we've gotten in recent years. Sure. And again, that could have been one of the possible inspirations in that regard of, like I said, kind of throwing back to the big disaster movies of the 90s and whatnot. The Day After Tomorrow, which I think was that early 2000s. I can't remember exactly when that one came out, but that was one, just one of the ones that kind of jumped out at me as far as like in thinking in terms of like the big disaster movies. Or at least that's one of them that I liked, but,
yeah, I think like all of the disaster movies can all just kind of be like thrown together into a big pot mixed together, because like, yeah, I mean, clearly he wanted to just disaster this thing up. I'm sure if he had the budget, this movie would have had earthquakes. It would have had, you know, I mean, really, I mean, that flood that comes in, I mean, what was that even? Like, it was like a flood that like snuck up on them. Like, it was kind of ridiculous.
No, it was pretty weird the way that like this storm kind of operated, or at least the way they had it play out. Cause yeah, they were like in the greenhouse and all of a sudden you had the flood come in. I don't know. It's like I said, it felt like that the movie again didn't make a whole lot of sense of the way it was structured. It was almost like they had an idea for, oh, I want this to happen, this to happen, this to happen. Yeah. And then that's what they did. And then they chopped it together and it was like, wait, how was it? You know, first you had the, I can't even remember, like, to even try to think of the order of how it even played out. I can't even, it doesn't work in my head. Like the mall, I know the mall scene, I can't remember if it was before or after the greenhouse scene. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay. And they had brought up some things such as like making a fertilizer bomb, inspired by Timothy McVeigh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then they actually literally bring up Timothy McVeigh.
Like, yeah. Yes.
Like what?
And then they don't even make a bomb.
No, they don't even do that. So that was just like a quick throwaway. That was a furious writing session at like 4 a.m. just like, oh yeah. And then Timothy McVeigh.
Right.
And then he just forgot about
that
it.
That's one of the things though, that's one of the things that I loved actually, was those weird moments like that.
Yeah.
The other ones just popped in my head though, was that like they had that pee break moment where like he goes over there, she goes over there and they take a pee. And I was like,
that was pretty freaking random. You never seen that in the movie before.
and then they're like, oh, are you hungry? Let's eat peanut butter and jelly.
Hey, that made me want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich right there in the theater. They should sell peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at movie theaters. That would be a good movie snack. I don't know. That's an aside. So.
But if they did, they should go up the aisle selling the peanut butter and jelly, but then that would cause a distraction. Because, you know, would you have wanted to get up at that point in the movie and go to the you know, and get a snack and buy a peanut butter? No, you would want it right then.
Yeah. I mean, come on. This is America. Oh, man. So this is a wild movie.
Oh, we didn't even bring this up yet, though. The weatherman drives a car that looks like Batman.
Yeah, that was 100% the Batmobile. That car.
But again, I think Mad Max was sort of a little bit of an influence. So right. I'm like, yeah, I could kind of see that in Road Warrior 2. Sure. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that was totally Totally I'll bizarre,
leave,
though.
I'll leave Batman off my master list and just leave Road Warrior. But just know, everybody, that that was definitely the Batmobile.
Oh, no, no, no. You totally can leave Batman. Because, yeah, that was like, that was straight out of, like, the Dark Knight.
Yeah, it totally was. So, yeah, if you don't have any other movies, I'm going to go over the master list here.
Nope. I think that was it.
All right. So the finished puzzle in this movie includes Twister, Die Hard, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, The Mummy, Hard Rain, Sharknado, Geostorm, Triple X, Smokey and the Bandit, Mad Max, Road Warrior, and Fury Road, Dukes of Hazzard, San Andreas, The Day After Tomorrow, and the Batmobile. We'll throw it in there. Why not? Yeah, that is a list right there, man.
Well, that's how they were. That's how they were in the meeting. You know that? Like he was like, "Oh, so I want." One of the guys was like, "Can we put the Batmobile in there?"
I know this is the early days of this podcast. We don't have a ton of listeners yet. But if you're listening and you feel like sending us a recording of yourself, just going down that list really fast and like cocaine crazy going over that list in a studio pitch meeting, do it and send it to us. We'll play it on the show. It's Twister. It meets Hard Rain, Sharknado. That's a hell of a list to go through. Oh man. So to wrap this one up, I think we both loved it, but any last notes you want to mention about it?
Well, funny thing that I can't remember where I stumbled across this, but I think it was on IMDb. It might have been for the IMDb for Hurricane Heist, but evidently in the early 90s there was a similar movie that was had Sylvester Stallone was attached to star, and Joe Esterhaus of all people had written the script or was writing the script. Which Esterhaus is funny. You mentioned cocaine a couple of times. I think a movie like this has to come from somebody that has been doing lots of cocaine. So anyway, Esterhaus, who did Showgirls and Basic Instinct and a lot of those, you know, sexual, psychological movies in the 90s. He wrote the script, and I guess Rennie Harlan was going to direct. This was back in the 90s. There was a movie called Gale Force. And something happened, and it didn't end up getting made, and then they made Cliffhanger instead. But I thought that was interesting that because that's what this movie totally hit the nail on the head with. Like we were saying, it was just like totally just felt like something that like Stallone would have been in the 90s. Oh, so,
yeah, I would have wore out the VHS copy of this movie. That's for sure.
Right. exactly. And see, and that is one of the things that I came away thinking too, after I saw this, and it was like, I would have so loved this movie as a kid. This would have been like my total like favorite movie. Like I said, I brought up Smokey and the Bandit and like the Dukes of Hazzard TV show, which I loved that stuff as a kid. And that's what this one captured that spirit of. And it did that just like so perfectly.
That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just want to make one more note about it too. There was a moment in the movie I actually had to pull out my phone, which I usually don't do during movies, but I needed to write this line down. Because it was just it was too perfect, and I wanted to say it here on the show. The line is, "Well, this hurricane can change people from alive to dead." What an amazing line of dialogue.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hurricane Heist. We both really like this movie. You know, definitely if you're thinking about checking it out, you know what you're getting into. I think you get the idea from the way we've been talking about it the whole time, but it is a lot of fun. And it was a big surprise for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, just fun. Fun is a perfect, ridiculous and fun. Those are the two words that sum this movie up perfectly. And yeah, anybody that likes big action, ridiculous action, this is the movie to watch. And again, it doesn't, you know, go in that cheesy route that Sharknado does. It takes itself serious as a movie, or at least it balances that seriousness with its ridiculousness, which I think is what, like, Rob Cohen, what he, like, does. That's, like, he's the master of.
All respect to Rob Cohen, seriously. and Chad, thank you. You're my first repeat co-host. And I don't think anyone would be surprised by that, though, since me and you talk movies constantly. But yeah, thanks for being here again. You got anything you want to plug or mention or anything like that before we wrap this up?
Well, right now, the big thing that I have going on is I've got this festival. It's Ironton Wizard Fest. It's like a Harry Potter event, Harry Potter celebration that we're doing in November here in Ironton, Ohio. And that's the thing that I have going on. But people can find it on Facebook and Twitter and everything. And it's just IrontonWizardFest.com. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Everything and anything Harry Potter. And people are getting excited for it, which is awesome. It's going to be like we're having it the weekend before the new Fantastic Beasts movie, which is like perfect timing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Great, man. Great. All right. Well, thank you. And, everyone check out the Hurricane Heist. Seriously. It's fun.
Oh yes. Definitely watch this movie. All right. Thanks a lot.
The Hurricane Heist. You know, it's such a fun movie. You got to know what you're getting into when you're going to see it. And hopefully, if you just listen to that episode, you will go see it because it's a blast and it's just so ridiculous. But yeah, that was a fun episode. That actually marks the conclusion of the first 5 episodes of Piecing It Together, which is an awesome little mini milestone. Super excited about how the show has been going. I already have a few more episodes lined up to record, and then we're going to just keep it moving from there. I want to cover a lot of the movies that are coming out this summer. There's a lot of really great stuff coming up. I know we're already planning on an Isle of Dogs episode. We're planning on a Rampage episode, Ready Player One. The next one we record will be Best Friends, the new Tommy Wiseau movie. Yeah, there's a lot of great movies coming up, and I'm hoping to cover as many of them as we can. So if you have been enjoying the show, please make sure you subscribe. Whatever your podcasting app of choice is, just hit subscribe. If you want, share it too. That's awesome. We would love that. And make sure you rate and review us, or at the very least, send us some feedback. You can email me directly at bydavidrosen@gmail.com, or, you know, go to our Facebook or Twitter, or just leave that review right there on iTunes. I want to know what you're thinking of the show. We are going to continue to make it better and improve the flow of everything and just keep the whole thing moving. So again, thank you for being out there. Thank you for listening. I'm going to leave you again, like last episode, with a piece of my music. A Different Kind of Dream is coming, hopefully, the last week of April. We'll see if I hit that deadline. I got a lot of movies to watch, so could get pushed to May, but we'll see what happens. Thanks for listening.